Our gospel reading for the morning comes from Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24, starting in verse 36 and going through verse 44. Jesus is speaking here. He's speaking words to his disciples just before his upcoming trial and crucifixion. And he says these words. No one knows about that day or hour. Not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. As it was in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. For in the days before the flood, people were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, up to the day Noah entered the ark. And they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them all away. That is how it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. Two men will be in the field. One will be taken and the other left. Two women will be grinding with a handmill. One will be taken and the other left. Therefore, keep watch. Because you do not know on what day your Lord will come. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known at what time of night the thief was coming, he would have kept watch and would not have let his house be broken into. So you also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Lord Jesus Christ, come quickly in this season of Advent, this season of expectation. Come quickly and surprise us with your presence. But in this hour when we wait for you to come, give us eyes to see what you were saying to your disciples and help us to know what to do with it today. In your name we pray. Amen. I need a volunteer. I need a volunteer to play a game with me. I know we're going to play games in church. All right. Tyler volunteered. Tyler, come on up here. You don't even know what game it's going to be, but this is good timing that this is the fourth Sunday of the month, so there's no children's church. So we have somebody who's, you know, willing to play games in church. Tyler, very good. The game is hide and seek. You're familiar with the rules? Okay. I think that's a yes. It was silent. So anybody who's listening to this online afterwards, you know, people listen to these sermons online. It's wonderful stuff. They won't hear you say anything. But he jumped up and down. Okay. Hide and seek. I'm going to be it. You have to hide. Okay?
Can I go anywhere other than the sanctuary?
No, you have to stay in the sanctuary. And you can't, you know, run around and disrespect the space because this is a worship time. But I do want you to kind of hide yourself. And I'm going to close my eyes and count to like 10 so it won't last forever. And then I'll try to find you. Okay? Okay, ready? One, two, three, four. How's he doing? Five, six, seven, eight, nine, ten. Ready or not, here I come. Where'd he go? Okay, that's great, they told me. Let's see, is he back here? Where's Tyler? There he is, I found him. All right. He hid behind the pulpit. How about that? What's that saying? Very good. Too bad I won. I don't know. How do you lose at hide and seek? If you had stayed hidden forever, then we'd really, you know, would have been worried about you. I'm glad I found you.
Well, there's hardly any places to
hide. I know. There's not,
there's
yeah.
Behind there and there.
Yeah, we can't really hide too well in the sanctuary. That was kind of the point. But in any case, thank you, Tyler. Round of applause for Tyler. Thank you very much for helping out. Hide and seek. Ready or not, here I come. Now, if you were in Tyler's shoes, or Tyler thinking about what just happened, when you saw him run around, right? He was trying to find somewhere to go, and he was like, where am I going to go? Because there's nowhere to hide in a wide open sanctuary. When was it that you really hunkered down and said, okay, now I gotta be ready? When was it?
As soon as I got behind him.
Oh, really?
I got to 8.
Oh, when I got to 8. Okay. 8 was the key. All right, all right. I wasn't expecting that. I thought it might be when I said the key words, ready or not, here I come, right? But when I got to 8, you knew that 9, 10, and then I was going to be coming. There was a cue anyway, and that's the point. There was a cue that was letting him know that it was time to watch out because the big bad pastor man was going to come and find him somewhere. With the help of the Hassan clan, who all said, he's right there. Oh, wait, sorry. They shouldn't. I know, they cheated. Well, I'm not that good at hide and seek, and we got to get out of here before, 2 o'clock. So, ready or not. Ready or not, here he comes. This is the season of Advent. We've begun a new church year, and beginning it rightly by anticipating the birth of Jesus Christ. We have our greens all hung, and we'll hang some more this evening. Be sure to come back for this for the service tonight. We'll decorate the tree and have a good old time. The season is ready for the Christ child to be born. We are remembering the time when Christ was born, but that's not the only meaning of the season of Advent. Did you know this? That Advent has two meanings to it. It's not just the time when we remember that Christ was born, but it's the time when we remember that he will come again. Ready or not, here he comes. We remember the baby born 2,000 years ago, and we remember his promises to return in majesty and in power and in glory at the end of the age, whatever that will look like. Ready or not, here he comes. Now, in our culture today, in our Christian understanding, our common Christian understanding among various denominations, among various churches, a lot of folks have adopted a belief in how things will turn out when Jesus returns at the end of the age. I was playing a video game, or looking at a video game that my friend had on his computer, a computer game. It's based on the Left Behind series. It's called Left Behind, Tribulation Forces, I think. And the opening scene of it is this, here's the planet Earth, and then here are all these bodies just kind of, or spirits floating out. It's the rapture, right? And then you get to play the game as one of the people who have been left behind, right? I mean, this is one of the cultural things that has kind of swept across our nation in the past several years. We kind of have a collective understanding that when Christ returns, there will be something like this, where people will be taken away, and we don't really know exactly how that works. In the Church of God, in our understanding, we don't hold to that. That understanding of how the end will come. We are what are called amillennialists, which means we don't believe in a literal 1,000-year reign of Christ on earth at the end of the age when he comes. When does the rapture happen, before or after that? When do the 7 years of tribulation happen, before or after, or in the middle? When is Satan released? Blah, 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 blah. We don't hold to any of that as a denomination. Now, you may individually, and I'm not going to say that's absolutely wrong. That's not where I come from, and that's not where our movement comes from. We're an amillennial, meaning not millennial, movement, where we know that Christ will return. We believe wholeheartedly in that. But where the scriptures speak of a 1,000-year reign, we're thinking more figuratively. We understand that to be more of a metaphor that says something about how Christ will return or what the quality of his kingdom reign will be like. Ready or not, here he comes. He is surely coming. But when we read this passage from Matthew's gospel, where Jesus says something like, there will be two men working in the field, one will be taken and the other left, it sure sounds a lot like, whoop, there goes somebody in the rapture, right? And then two women will be grinding, working at the grinding mill, and one will be taken, whoop, and the other one will be left. What is it? What's that all about? We don't have a specific doctrine of the rapture or of people escaping from earth before bad things happen. That's not found anywhere in the Bible. It's found in code language in Revelation, which meant something to the people who read it the very first time. I don't think it means things at the end of the age. But in any case, I'm getting kind of far afield here. You ever lose your train of thought? It happens sometimes. Okay. Just like it was in the days of Noah, so it will be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. This is what Jesus said. In the days of Noah, the situation was a little different, right? I mean, there were people doing evil all over the world, and God decided to obliterate them all, except for Noah and his family. Three sons and three daughters. So eight people and then a whole bunch of animals, I guess. And what do they eat all that time? I don't know. What do the animals eat? Each other? I don't know. But in any case, Noah and the family, and they all survived. But everybody else perished. All of them were taken away. That's the language Jesus used. They were taken away, like wiped off the table. Like, well, I'm done with these toys. They're gone. Not toys. But then Jesus says something a little different. In the days of the coming of the Son of Man, it will be like this. Two men will be working in the field. One will be taken away. It's not quite the same idea as swept off the table. When Jesus says one will be taken away, the language is more like will be brought alongside me. One will be brought alongside me and the other one will be left. Two women will be working at the grinding mill. One will be brought alongside me, taken away. And the other one will be left. It's a picture of who belongs to Christ and who doesn't. When the Son of Man returns, the time for deciding to follow him will be done. And those who belong to him will be brought to him, and the others will be left. That's the end of the story. We don't need to worry about anything that happens in the future, about a tribulation or a millennial reign. The others will just be left. That's it. Those who belong to him will be taken and the others will be left. It's good to belong to him, isn't it? It's good to know that we will be brought alongside the Lord at the end of the age. Ready or not, here he comes. But Jesus' coming isn't a game of hide and seek that the pastor plays with Tyler. It's not the case that we don't get to know. Oh boy, too many negatives. It is the case, how am I going to phrase this? Let's go back to hide and seek. When Tyler and I are playing hide and seek, Tyler knows when I'm coming. He hears me count up to 7, 8, 9, 10, and then he gets ready. He knows when it is that he has to be ready. He knows when I'm coming to get him. That's not the case with the coming of the Lord. That's the difference between hide and seek and the real seeking that happens when Jesus returns. Jesus says, you don't know when the Son of Man is going to return. I don't even know, Jesus says, when the Son of Man will return. Can you imagine? He's kind of sitting up there, cooling his heels in heaven. Is it time now, Dad? Nope. Is it time now? Nope. How about now? No, no. Hold on. It's not time yet. He doesn't even know when he's going to return. But someday the Lord will say, now. And Christ will return. And it will be a surprise. It will be as surprising as the flood was to the people in Noah's day. It will be as surprising as a thief breaking into your home in the middle of the night. Has anybody ever experienced that? I don't need you to show your hands or anything, but if you know someone who has been robbed in the middle of the night, because maybe you forgot to lock the door or you were away for a time and then somebody came. It's very disconcerting. Your home is safe. Your home is home base, right? That's where nobody else messes with you. And if somebody does that, it kind of unsettles the whole world. It's like a thief coming in the middle of the night. The return of Jesus is. You don't know when it's going to happen. It will be that surprising. So we don't have to worry about when is the end of the world going to happen. Is it going to be when the Mayan calendar suggested it, 2012, a couple of years from now? Or, oops, maybe they did their math wrong and it meant 2212 or something bizarre like that. Is it going to be when this person says or that person says? So far, everybody who's predicted the end of the world has been wrong. So I kind of figure it's not worth worrying about because it'll happen when it happens. That's all out there. The return of Christ is all out there. What does it mean right here? What does it mean for us today? What does it mean in this season of Advent? What does it mean for us in central lower Michigan in the at the end of the year 2010? What does it mean for us today that Christ is returning then? I think the message comes from what Jesus said to his disciples right there. So keep watch. So be ready. If life is a game of hide and seek, and Tyler has to hide from the big mean pastor man, and he doesn't know when big mean pastor man is going to come and find him, he's going to get ready right now, right? Like if I could come and tag him at any time, he's going to be hidden already. Be ready now, because you don't know when the Son of Man will return. See, the problem with speculations about the end of the age is that we get so removed from today. Every time, just about every time we read in Scripture something about Christ returning, there's always something about what happens now. It's never just idle speculation. It has to do with how we live our lives today. JR, I've got a few lined up. If you'd give the first of a series of verses here, 2 Peter chapter 3, the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar, and the elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything in it will be laid bare. Pretty bad stuff. But since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? Now, you ought to live holy and godly lives. How about that? What's the next one? JR? Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. The Lord is near. Code language for the Lord is returning soon. He is close at hand. The kingdom of God is near. Let your gentleness be evident to all. It has to do with how we live our lives today. How about the next one? James chapter 5. You too, be patient and stand firm, because the Lord's coming is near. There it is again. Don't grumble against each other, brothers, or you will be judged. The judge is standing at the door. This is real life hide and seek. We have to be ready now because the judge is standing at the door. I think there's one more that I have in line. Yes, Revelation 19. A picture of the church as the bride of Christ. Let us rejoice and be glad and give him glory, for the wedding of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready. His bride is us, the church. Now, several of you women are married or have been married, and think back to your wedding day. What did it take for you to get ready? Kind of a lot, right? For some of you more than others, especially in today's world, when young people grow up and get married, they throw elaborate parties, and it takes months to prepare, and you have to get the cake, and you have to get the dress, and you have to get the invitations, and blah, 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 and life sure could be a lot simpler, right? I mean, we could just have a nice little ceremony here, but the way of the present is to get ready in very elaborate ways. So when the wedding day comes, everything's done, and you're ready. We as the church are the bride of Christ. We have this time to get ready. What does it mean that ready or not, here he comes? It means right now we have to be right with each other. We have to be right with our neighbors. We have to be right with our families. We have to live gently and live patiently and live holy lives. It has everything to do with how we live as community here. It's so easy to get distracted about the details of what will happen out there. But that's extraneous stuff. Even Jesus doesn't worry about that. He's just waiting for his dad to tell him when to come. He's more concerned about what happens here today. So, how do we measure up? Are we ready? Do we have healthy relationships? Do we live at peace with each other? Do we exercise gentleness with each other? Do we live at peace with everyone? Do we live in harmony with each other? This is the testimony of our unity to the world. They will know you are my disciples, Jesus said, because of your love for each other. the passage that Nancy read for us. Let no debt go unpaid. That's good financial advice, by the way. Pay off all your debts, except for your debt of love to each other. You're always owing love to each other. So love each other. The passage that Isabella read for us just a few minutes before, where Isaiah is prophesying the change in the world order that is about to take place. Everything's going to change, the Lord says. Your swords will be beaten into plowshares, so they won't be implements of war anymore, but they'll be implements of good, growth. Your spears will be made into pruning hooks. Life is going to change when the Son of Man comes. But then the last verse, did you catch it? Come now, house of Jacob, us, church, let us walk in the ways of the Lord. When that day comes, that will be a glorious day when we can put down all of our arms, when we can put down all of our troubles with other peoples, when there will be no more wars, where there will be no more struggle, no more fighting. But until that day, come, house of Jacob, let us walk in the ways of the Lord. Every time we think about the Lord returning, we should think about what happens now, here, today, and how we as a church can better embody the holiness and the unity and the love that Christ calls us to embody. This is everyday stuff, not just Sunday morning stuff. It has to do with how we interact with each other throughout the week, and every time we see each other, every time we talk on the phone, every time we talk about each other when the others aren't around. It has to do with how we live our lives as the people of God. This is important stuff. Way more important than hide and seek. I mean, that's just a kid's game, and I hope none of you were offended when, oh man, we're playing. Last week it was Harry Potter, and now it's some games in the middle of the sanctuary. This is okay, I hope. It's more important than hide and seek. The Lord is coming, ready or not. We had better be ready, I think. So this week, as we remember the coming of Christ, as we look at this one candle, remembering that in the future we will light the other candles. Hopefully the preacher won't talk too long so that first candle doesn't get too short. Oh boy. Anyway, as we remember the coming of Christ, remember the real coming of Christ at the end of the age, the other real coming of Christ, and think about how that affects how we live today. Don't let this moment slip from your mind as you go your ways this week. How we live as the church matters. Because an unprepared bride on the wedding day makes for a pretty messy wedding. Woe to the husband who tries to marry a bride who is not adequately prepared for her wedding day. He must be a very patient man. Be ready. Because we don't know when the Lord will come, so we must act today. Amen? Let's pray. Lord God, Lord Jesus Christ, we give you thanks for the promise of your return. We give you thanks for the memory of your coming in the first place. As an innocent child, one who is subject to all of the problems and all of the difficulties and sicknesses and distress that infancy brings, and yet survived through all things to bring us salvation and wholeness and redemption. We thank you for coming, and we thank you for promising to return. Give us grace to be your people at work. Give us grace to be your people at peace with each other, so that we, by our relationships, might show to the world who you really are. That is why we exist. That is why we meet together every week. That is why we sing praises to your name alone, so that we might show others who you are and that they might come to know you before it's too late. We thank you for this word, for your gospel, which speaks so strongly to us. And we ask that you would carry it with us through the week to come and give us strength for the journey. In your holy and precious name we pray. Amen. I'd invite you to stand with me as we sing a closing hymn, a hymn of anticipation, one in which we are waiting for the Lord to come. We'll sing two verses of this, The Sweetest Name I Know. And watch that last verse, the second verse that we sing, and think about what it means. Something about the future when Christ returns, but it has to do with us today too. Deanne, would you lead us in this song?
There's within my heart a melody. Jesus whispers sweet and low. Fear not, I am with thee. Peace be still in all of thy ebb and flow. Jesus, 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 He's the very sweetest name I know. Fills my every longing and He keeps me satisfied, keeps me singing as I go.
Oops.
Soon He's coming back to welcome me, far beyond the starry sky. I shall wing my flight to worlds unknown. I shall reign with Him on high. Jesus, 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 His name I know. Fills my every longing and He keeps me satisfied, keeps me singing as I go.
Amen. Jesus is returning soon. Soon He's coming back to welcome us far beyond the starry sky. But He is the sweetest name that we know, and He keeps us singing as we go. You see how they're tied together? We can't separate our belief in Christ returning from our belief in Christ active today. Go this week in the name of the one who keeps you singing. Keep singing as you go. Go in the name of the one who promises peace and promises fellowship with the saints and fellowship with Him at the end of the age. And remain steadfast in Him. And share this message with those who need to hear it. Go in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord and worship Him every day. Amen.